News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9, WUVR. Welcome to this week's edition of Real Estate Today with Marielle Gavine and Matt G. Cross.
And I'm Marielle Gavine.
And I am, coincidentally, Matt G. Cross.
How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm very, very rested.
Oh, that's right. You were gone last week in
Miami.
Yes.
Mm. You know, the old Florida people, like the people from the Pioneers, they call it Miami.
Kind of like calling it Missouri.
No. But, you know, it was founded, the white people who moved there in the late 1800s.
Ah, yes.
And lived along the Miami River.
The Miami.
With the Miccosukee and the other Indian
tribes.
Was that
after Ponce de Leon found the Fountain of Youth down
there? It was about 300 years after that, yes.
Okay, yeah, a little time.
Yeah. They were stalwart people.
Mm.
And they could handle themselves with skeeters and gators and all of that kind of thing. You know what they do have the beach in Miami Beach? Well, they did have a rash of body parts floating up on the beach when I first moved there in the mid-80s.
Sounds delightful.
Well, you know, Dr. Sam, he's wanted to spend time in Miami, just sort of getting to know it the way I used to know it. So we just went down and like looked at neighborhoods, and I just drove him around, showing him all the places I used to go.
Did you arrange for body parts to wash up ashore so he could experience the full Mary?
I did not, no. But I did do the Murder and Mayhem tour.
Oh, okay.
So when I first moved to Miami Beach, it was quite a dangerous place.
Yeah.
During the 80s, it was rough, and I knew people who murdered people, and I met people who then were murdered subsequently, and people who found body parts in their dumpsters behind their apartments, and you know, there was a lot of bad stuff, bombs exploding in the streets. I mean, it was crazy. In my own house, they shot a convict who had pistol whipped a woman in the house next door. So I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff.
All right.
Going on. So that took about 2 days.
Mm. So when you're looking for someone to sell your house, look for someone that's really seen it all.
Well, I will say there's not a lot that throws me.
Let's just leave it there. Yeah.
But I do want to tell you about a really lovely experience we had.
Okay.
So Joe's Stone Crab is not to be confused with Joe's Crab Shack, which is a chain.
Right.
This is one place that has been in Miami Beach since the early 1900s.
Okay.
Same family's owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there, and there's all these waiters in tuxedos and maitre d's, and there's probably five people that work with each table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they each have multiple tables, but, you know, you have the busboy, you have the waiter, you have the food runner, you have the person who comes and scrapes the crumbs off your table.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and stone crabs, if you've never had them, are the sweetest, juiciest crabs that there are. They're delicious, and they make the side dishes like cream spinach and hash browns that you cannot believe.
It sounds good.
Yeah, the food is so wonderful. The cocktails, the wine, the atmosphere, white tablecloths. I mean, they wear white gloves, the waitstaff do. I mean, it's beautiful.
Sounds like a Morgan Steakhouse or something.
Yeah, it has very much that old-fashioned steakhouse feel, but it's got beautiful palm trees, and it's in the tropics. It's gorgeous.
Nice.
Technically the subtropics, but it's gorgeous. So yeah, I feel very well-rested, but happy to be back and hanging out with you.
Yeah. I mean, at least you came back, and it's a little bit warmer than it was.
Oh, yes.
You missed the brunt of the
chill.
Terrible. Well, although you came back Sunday night, right? So you were.
It was like
the coldest
2 degrees.
Night.
Yeah. It was 2 degrees when we got out of the car.
Right.
And Sam goes, can we just go back?
Yeah.
I said, yes. Yes, I'd be happy to go right back.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, soon enough.
Yeah. Soon enough.
Yeah.
Right. So, Matt, we should probably check in with the mortgage rates.
Yes. Where are they? Are they 6.5-ish?
Well, locally, you could get 6.5-ish, yes. But I'm going to be quoting these national average rates.
True.
So we're still up there in the high sixes, low sevens for a 30-year fixed. And for a FHA, they're doing 6.9. Mm-hmm. And for a 30-year VA, it's 6.88. We still have a 6 in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've still got until the actual spring to get to 6.0. I think we're going to get there.
You still think so?
Oh, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you foresee the Fed dropping rates?
Yes, the prime rate.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't think that's for me to say.
Well, I mean, isn't that like what would be ultimately Why no?
Well, it's the bond rate that's close, more closely tied to mortgage rates.
Okay.
But yes, they are affected by the prime rate, of course. So it's all interconnected for sure.
Yeah.
So the Fed has said that they're not going to raise rates. So that is a very good indicator that as things continue, if inflation continues to be in control, we could expect to see them dropping rates.
Right.
So that's where I'm looking.
The plan is still in place.
Yes.
It still may hit 6% by spring.
I think it will.
Okay.
I'm bullish.
It's good.
Yes. So, Matt.
Yeah.
Now that spring is here, it puts me in the mind that I have to start getting my Airbnb back up and running.
Yeah. You guys have had one of those at one point, right?
We still have one.
Do you? Is it like actively listed?
It is. Yeah. It's in Maine, on the coast of Maine.
That's right. I was thinking of your house here.
Yes. As of right now, we are not renting rooms in our house Airbnb.
Yeah.
But people could and people do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we decide to spend more time in Miami in the winters, we probably will offer it for a weekly rate from Christmas to New Year's or whatever. And, you know, you can get $5,000 for that week.
That's crazy.
For a house that, you know.
It's really amazing how much money you can make off Airbnb.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I thought, you know, I would try to help some people understand whether or not they would like to do that. Because becoming a short-term rental host, as they are referred to, is something that is not for everybody. But it is a way to help people stay in their homes. It's a way for lonely people to meet new people. Because we were joking about it, but there really are people who have Airbnb where they rent out rooms in their homes and they still live in their homes and they're there when they come.
I always felt like that would be weird. I mean, I guess it depends on what type, like what the expectation is as you're renting the Airbnb. If you're renting a room, obviously you're going to expect other people to be there.
Yes.
But I always thought that would be weird to have an Airbnb where the host is just kind of hovering around the property. You know?
Yeah. But if you're thinking like, I'm going to go to India. Right. And I'm going to look up an Airbnb where the host will be there.
Right.
And they're going to help me understand what it's like to live in India.
Mm-hmm.
And in my experience, going to some of these Airbnbs where the host is there in other countries, they really do show you things and tell you where to go and make sure you have a meal that is typical.
I mean, I can see like where if you're going to another country or somewhere you're unfamiliar with, that would be an asset.
Yeah.
It was as opposed to. You know where you're going. You know what you want to do. You just kind of want to be left alone.
Right. Exactly. And that's a whole different thing. And I would say that people who have that attitude maybe aren't Airbnb people anyway. They should just be hotel people.
I don't know. For me, for example, when I went to Arizona 5 years ago, so I skipped around, I think, 6 different locations over the course of like 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really encounter any of the hosts. I think one, maybe two.
Yeah.
But I liked that. I kind of liked just not really having any contacts and just kind of being incognito and invisible to, you know, just being just part of
a community.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, that's what you do when you get an Airbnb. Instead of going into a hotel, you go into a lobby, you go to the front desk, and then you go to the elevator.
I guess it depends on like what your goal. I mean, I'm sure everyone has kind of different goals when they're renting an Airbnb. I mean, I think some people want that being part of the community, being included, and you know, knowing what to do, where to go, who to talk to. I think other people just like it because it's not a hotel. It's not just a standard, very common room with curtains and a floor.
Right, right. Two queen beds.
Right. Just, you know, it's like they all look fairly similar.
Yeah.
That was my appeal to it. It wasn't so much necessarily being, you know, engrossed in the community itself. It was just kind of just having a place that was unique.
Right.
That was exciting to kind of explore. Right. And, you know, it wasn't just a standard thing that I knew exactly what it was going to be before I even went into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I think about the places internationally that Dr. Sam and I have been to where we have done an Airbnb and they've been in a neighborhood, you really do. Like, you walk down the street and you wave to the neighbors and you talk to the neighbors. You get a whole different experience than when you're in the central business district where the hotels are.
Sure. Yeah.
You feel like you're really getting a better understanding of the place.
Yeah. And I think I did, too. I mean, to an extent, even being on my own for the most part, I'm still interacting with people, obviously, you know, as I was going to get food or whatever.
Yeah, you mean they didn't say, hello, how can I help you, sir? And then you just ignored them.
No, I didn't look at run away screaming.
Right. Right.
No.
Well, that's good. Yeah. But that is a good thing. When we were in Adelaide in Australia, we stayed at this fabulous townhouse that was right on the edge of the, you know, they have the green belt all the way around. It's a city of 1 square mile with a green belt all the way around it. And so the houses and apartment buildings that faced the Green Belt. It's just park. It's beautiful. Mm. And they call it the Festival City.
Yep.
And they have festivals all year round. And we were there for Womadelaide, Adelaide, which is a world music festival for a whole week. Just a beautiful place. And we just felt like we were part of the community. So, you know, it also helped that I have a lot of relatives there.
Right.
And there's streets named after my family and things like that. So that definitely helped me make me feel part of the community.
You know what I always thought, just on a random side note, I always found Alice Springs to be the weirdest anomaly in Australia.
What's odd about it?
It's just in the middle of nothingness.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, except for gold mines.
Okay, but I mean, like, just physically, though, like, geographically, it's like, isn't it, like, the only thing for, like, 1,000 miles or something? Yeah.
Yes.
And it's just this little city that just exists.
Yes.
It's like a little Kmart and stuff.
It's gotten a lot bigger
and,
since they found gold.
Well, I mean, it's even then, it's, like, what, like, 40, 50,000 people?
Oh, I think it's a lot more now.
Is it?
Yeah. But it's still a strange
it's just a weird spot. I mean, it's literally, like, everything in Australia is on the coast, and then there's just one random city that just exists.
In the middle.
Yeah. That would be terrifying to live there.
But there are some beautiful Airbnbs in Alice Springs.
I think it'd be neat to experience, but I still think it's just so weird because it's just so remote.
Yeah. One of them is underground.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Literally dig into holes underground.
I can see why.
Yeah.
Isn't it like 130 degrees there or something?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be a lot of fun to go into there.
Mm-hmm.
So would you ever consider being an Airbnb host, Matt?
I have thought about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not in a position to where it would be my whole house.
Right.
I think if I were to do it, it would be either the shed out back that I've kind of converted into my office that I would convert into a bedroom or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would just rent out a room.
Yeah.
In the house.
Yeah.
Which I feel like would be weird. I would make it weird. Like, that's the problem. I know myself well enough to know that, like, I would have, like, one guest and then I would just have, like, a 1-star review and they'd be like, don't go. You know, like, he breathes heavily, like looking at you through the door or something, you know.
Well, I have good friends and we travel with them all over the world. Mm-hmm. They came with us to Adelaide, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
And they love to do Airbnb, mm-hmm. even the creepy kind,
mm-hmm.
where they're in, like, in Boston.
Yeah.
And they did it because, well, they're cheap.
Yeah.
So
yep.
They were looking to have the cheapest experience possible.
That makes sense.
And so they rented a room in a guy's tiny apartment.
Really?
With the guy.
Wow.
One bathroom that they shared.
That must have been pretty affordable, though.
It was. It was like $40 a night.
Right.
So they're like, this is awesome. You know, they were paying for their daughter to go to MIT.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to save where they
right.
could. So that isn't one of the reasons why people do use Airbnb is to save money.
Yeah. I mean, in Lebanon, even a few years ago, I was looking kind of just around just to see the comparison values, just to see, you know, and explore if it was something I ever want to ultimately do. And I mean, people were renting out like a single bedroom that was, you know, 12 by 12 feet.
Yeah.
For $90-$100 a night.
Yeah. Crazy. It's crazy.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were to, what mm-hmm. would be your goal? Would it be because you want to meet these people? Would it be because you want to make some little extra money?
I think a few things.
Yeah.
I think the money's obviously appealing.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the idea of meeting people that would come from various places and kind of, you know, introducing them to the area and just kind of making them feel at home. And I like the idea of kind of being a host in that respect, you know, just mm-hmm. kind of, you know, having everything ready for them and giving them a good experience. And
yes,
I just think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're considering becoming a host, you really do need to think about what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of them is to meet new people, then you can do it the way you're suggesting. You know, you can have it really close to where you live, either an ADU on the property or rent out rooms.
Yeah.
Some people do it because they want to help cover their mortgage. Maybe
right.
they bought a little more house than they really thought they could.
Mm-hmm.
Then they rent out rooms in order to pay for that. Or maybe they'll even use it to pay for travel.
Right.
So in my example, we'll rent out our Grantham house mm-hmm. to people who want to ski Christmas week
right.
and make a substantial piece of cash.
Yep.
And then we take that and we buy ourselves a nice vacation in the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
So covering the mortgage is one of them.
Yeah.
And then other people want to do it sort of as a business.
Right.
So they might start with one or two and they don't live in those houses. They've never lived in those houses.
Well, I feel like that's case in point with, I took a vacation over to Sedona a couple months ago
mm-hmm.
and the place we rented, I'm fairly certain the owners never lived in. I think it was just a rental purchase.
Yeah.
And I think that was like their fifth one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was one of those cases where they bought one, grew some money from that, bought the second one
yeah.
and so on and so forth. And Yeah, I mean, I can see how that could very quickly become a business if you have the money to make that initial investment and it's in a place that would be successful where you're getting consistent rentals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can. Mm-hmm. But I think that you have to do the numbers on each property individually.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And you have to really go through the process of figuring out what your investment is, what your carrying costs are, mm-hmm. and then use a reasonable rate for occupancy.
Right.
And 60% is a good rate. You can't count on having 100% occupancy.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think for like the 5 days we were there, it was like $2,500 or something.
Wow. That's a lot.
You guys
went in style.
We did. I mean, wow. We woke up and there was literally just red rock. It was like mm-hmm. the most picturesque view of Sedona. I mean, we were like up above so we could look down into the city and
gorgeous.
it was great. Yeah. I mean, I definitely splurged a little bit. It's not like it was common per se, but
no, I think that's beautiful.
It was nice. Yeah.
And that's one of the things you can sort of live vicariously, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can live like a millionaire for a weekend.
And that's how it felt. It was so nice. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to end.
One of the other reasons that people do Airbnb mm-hmm. is kind of what our family did.
Yep.
So Dr. Sam and his sister inherited a home on the coast of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to keep it up, it would be a lot of burden
right.
on the family to paint a new roof, this, that, and the other thing. And who's going to pay for that? So one idea we had was that I could create an Airbnb and do all the work, and then everybody gets to keep the house.
Oh.
But
nice.
It works out because we're not trying to make a lot of money on it. We're trying to cover our expenses and our anticipated maintenance, you know, for the future to keep the home in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another good goal and motivation.
Right.
And I keep saying Airbnb, but there are many different platforms
right.
that will help you do this.
Yeah, I mean, Airbnb is just, you know, the one that got popular. I mean, home rentals have been around forever.
Home rentals have been around forever, yeah. But Airbnb started in 2007 when a couple of guys in San Francisco overextended themselves and they didn't have enough rent money.
Mm-hmm.
So they got this great idea to rent out rooms. They happened to have known that there was a very popular designers conference coming to San Francisco and that their hotels were all full.
Oh, yeah.
So they got some air mattresses mm-hmm. and put them on the floors of their rooms and rented out. And they thought, you know, they would just get some lowlifes
right.
coming. But no, they had really good quality people.
Wow.
Said, hey, there's something to this.
Yeah.
And because they used air mattresses, you know, they called it air bed and breakfast.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So then it became Airbnb.
Wow.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
But in 1995, there was VRBO, which was, you know, vacation rentals by owner.
Yep.
So that's been around for a long time. Then there's other things like Vacasa and Guesty. And I mean, there's probably 20 of them nowadays. And, you know, there's a thing called Flipkey. So Evolve is another one.
Okay.
And just what you were saying,
mm-hmm.
where you think that these folks bought one and then another and another. Evolve is a company that actually helps you buy a property with this project in mind.
Oh, wow.
So then they set it all up for you and they help you figure out how to manage it and do all of that. I reference Airbnb because that's the platform I use.
I think that's one everyone's most familiar with.
Yeah. And a lot of people use more than one platform, mm-hmm. even for their one property.
Sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I don't do that because I don't have to.
Well, yeah.
Because my place is booked.
Mm-hmm.
It's been booked for next summer since November.
Do you use Airbnb or do you use it at
all? I use Airbnb.
You do, yeah.
And they made it very easy. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's lots of people who you'll hear complain about it. But their system worked very seamlessly for me.
Yep.
And I became a super host this year.
Oh, nice.
Which means that
I actually generally look for super hosts.
Yeah.
Just because I know that, I don't know. It's one of those things where, I mean, initially that was what I was told to look for was just because, you know, they have a proven track record of being good hosts.
Yes.
And the longer that Airbnb has been around, you know, people are kind of like, it doesn't really matter. And, you know, it's a little bit overemphasized. And
yeah, what I think is that a lot of people who are doing it as a business
mm-hmm.
work hard to become super hosts because they think that it's going to be easier for them to be marketed.
Right.
And I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But as a guest staying in super host places, I'm like,
it's not really any different.
Yeah. So basically you have to have a communication track record of responding within 12 hours of 95% or more.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have no lower than 4.7 or 4.8 stars
yep.
in your reviews
mm-hmm.
and you have to have had a certain number of rentals. And I think it was like you have to have done it 50 times and, gotcha. And met those other metrics.
Okay.
So people will say nice things about you if you underpromise and overdeliver.
Right.
But a lot of them are very sterile and they were never anybody's homes and they're not homes.
Yeah.
We work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is our home.
Right.
It's our family home, and we want people to come and enjoy it and mm-hmm. feel the experience of Old Main.
Yeah, gotcha.
But the furniture's not old,
mm-hmm.
and the linens are not old,
yeah.
and everything has been refreshed and is lovely, and we work hard at it. The kitchen's stocked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a lot of families that seem to come from either Canada or California little kids,
yep.
and they arrive in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to have to go out in the morning and get milk and juice and toast and eggs,
yeah.
so I leave that stuff for
See,
them.
See, that's pretty rare, honestly. There's not a lot. I mean,
that's why I have 5-star reviews.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, most of any of the ones I went to, like I've been to like probably 10, 15 to this point. And
yeah.
none of that. Though there was one. There was one in Phoenix where he had like a fruit and goodies basket.
Yeah. And that's lovely.
It was. It was just like, oh, that's
My
really nice.
My God. In Olinda in Australia,
mm-hmm.
the guy went out and got fresh baked bread, wine, fruit.
yeah.
I mean, it was lovely.
Yep.
And it was all stuff from right around there.
Right.
And I get shampoo and conditioner and things like that that are made in Maine
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, have seacoast aromas.
Do you go all out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is nice. I mean, it really does enhance the experience. And I can see why you get the high ratings if it's
yes.
if it's personalized and really just makes you feel like it's really just a fully Maine adventure kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I have down comforters. But if you're allergic to down, which I ask you in advance,
mm-hmm.
then I give a down alternative comforter and yep. down pillows and crisp white linens. And it's a nice luxury experience. Now, the house is a cute little cottage.
Mm-hmm.
It's rustic, and I advertise it as rustic. So when they walk in and they have these luxury linens and nice things appointed, they're very happy.
Yeah.
And I think you have to put that kind of effort and thought into mm-hmm. it if you want to become a 5-star rated person.
Yeah.
And I think that that's an important
thing. That's always my favorite kind of place is like the places that look kind of
yep.
rustic or traditional on the outside. And then you yep. go inside and there's just really modern amenities.
Yes. And clean.
Yeah.
It has to be spotless,
mm-hmm.
especially the kitchen and the bathroom.
Yeah. Even the paint on the walls.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed like when we did the Sedona trip, I mean, the place is beautiful, but there is, you know, I couldn't help but notice, you know, like on white walls where there's like grime marks and stuff.
Right,
I was just like, really?
Yeah, you got to fix that.
yeah.
Especially if you're charging those kind of
well,
dollars.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. If you are going to do it, Matt, you mm-hmm. have to think about a few things to prep it.
Yeah.
So safety,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to think about smoke alarms. You have to have carbon monoxide detectors. You have to make sure there's nothing broken. I always prep it if kids are coming, you know, put the plugs in the outlets
yep.
and put the little locks on the cabinet doors where we keep the cleaning supplies
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
Yeah.
So you have to think about all those trip hazards, make mm-hmm. sure your electrical stuff is up to code and
right.
nothing's going to, you know, short circuit. Then comfort, making sure that it's nice, comfortable furniture. You look around and say, you know, is this a place I can sit and
mm-hmm.
read a book? Can I watch TV comfortably? Is there a place to sit and eat? You know, you have to think about things like that.
Right.
And then fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking distance to the beach. So we have beach toys and we have a cart to pull all the toys and bicycles and umbrellas and all of those things that people don't want to schlep from California.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to create little vignettes in the yard and in the house
mm-hmm.
where people can take nice photographs for Instagram.
Oh,
like
nice.
We have a beautiful porch swing.
Yep.
And I see people putting that on Instagram more than anything else. But,
yep.
you know, picturesque little vignettes with plants and artwork. And
mm-hmm.
we have really nice artwork.
Nice.
This is all original things
gotcha,
and
yeah.
stuff our family's collected over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then making sure that you encourage people mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah.
Because if they post, then that's good marketing for you.
Right.
And in terms of that, you got to have really good photographs. So
yeah.
when you're putting up your listing
mm-hmm.
on whatever platform it is, you want to have good photographs. Some people say you need to have professional photos, but all of them give you little tips on how to take really great photos yourself. And people do compliment our photos.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's it. And you have to say nice things about your community.
Right.
You know, you want to tell people what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the platforms have a way for you to have an online housebook
yep.
so you can make recommendations of where to eat, where to get ice cream,
oh,
where the park is, how to get to the beach.
I did appreciate those in the ones that I went to. If they
mm-hmm.
just had like a brochure,
mm-hmm.
like when you walked in, just saying like, you know, here's recommendations for places to eat, to shop, to, you know,
yep.
like how far away they are. Like
exactly.
You know, stuff like that. It's really beneficial.
Exactly. Your ratings are part of your marketing.
Yeah.
And sometimes people give you a less than glowing review. of you, although it's only happened to me one time out of all the times I've rented.
Yeah.
And they gave me a 3-star rating. And their comments all said how lovely it was and how happy they were.
Maybe they just didn't understand how rating worked.
Well, this is the thing, because I got a nasty gram from the platform saying, if you get another 3-star rating, you're in danger of being kicked off the platform.
Wow.
So it's good for people to understand that C is not average.
Right.
And that C is failing
in the
hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to keep that out.
And well, I feel like that might be something that I'm sure it's a small amount, but I think there are probably some people that think a 3-star rating is, you know, it's like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Right. Well, this was way better than good. But it turned out that those people got, you know, had a big thing in the middle of the night and the police came. And so for them, it wasn't a really happy experience.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, anyway. But yeah. Not really fair. But
so I think it's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a good thing to do if you're trying to get rich.
Right.
If you're trying to cover your expenses.
Mm-hmm. Trying to make a little extra money.
Yes.
You enjoy it.
Help you keep that beautiful house. Mm-hmm. Buy a little bit more than you normally would have been able to afford. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah. I always looked at it as just kind of like a, you know, like if you want to have some fun, meet some new people and make a little supplemental income, then give it a shot.
Yeah. And I think that's the way it was designed originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same with Uber. Right?
Yeah, right.
It's like this helps you pay your car payment. It helps you pay upkeep your car. People who try to do it to make a living have a much harder time, and it's not as much fun, and they don't get rich.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So this isn't about getting rich.
Yeah.
It's about really using your real estate to make your life better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Use your real estate for your advantage.
Yes.
And if people want to talk about real estate, you know who they can talk to?
I think they can talk to me. I love talking about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly love talking about decorating. If you decide you'd like to make your home into an Airbnb, I'd be happy to come and help you look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think I've got a proven track record of success there.
It sounds like you do.
And I had a lot of fun getting our house ready. And, you know, the family appreciated it so much.
I'm sure.
And when my stepson said to me, can we just not like have the tacky like sailboat decorations and stuff? You know, it's like, we know the beach. Can we be a little more sophisticated?
Right.
So when he walked in and he saw what I did, he was like, oh my gosh, this place has never looked better in its whole life. It's fabulous. Thank you.
And
so
then
much.
Outside you put like 50 of like those garden gnomes or like those like women bent over in the garden.
No, we have the little Dutch girl and boy kissing
right, yeah. Well, that wraps up this edition of Real Estate Today with Mary Elgaveen and Matt G. Cross. Of course, if you would like to contact Mary for real estate questions, or if you have a house you'd like to list or looking to buy a property, you can head over to blackhousere.com. Mary has a profile there. You can find her contact info, or I'm sure she can give you her phone number now if she likes.
I would love to, because I love to speak to people about real estate. Mm-hmm. And my number is 954-648-0720.
Perfect.
Or if they want to call the office and speak with the lovely Nicole, they can reach her and then by default me.
By proxy, yeah.
Yes, at 603-678-8056.
Perfect. Or you can email Mary anytime at mary@blackhousere.com. And don't forget, you can always listen to the podcast online. Just search for Real Estate Today with Mary Elgaveen and Matt G. Cross on Podbean. Or you can go to Mary's website on the blackhousere.com, and you'll see a little Podbean logo on there on her profile that you can click on, and then it'll bring over. You see all the episodes we've done thus far?
This is number 16.
16. So you can head over there, and of course, you can catch the radio version of the show every Thursday morning starting at 8:30, which we will have next week with you with a new edition. We will talk to you then with News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR.